بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحمد لله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. And a warm welcome to this week's live edition of Living the Legacy. It's another chance to ask ourselves the question, am I living my legacy? What am I doing to live a legacy and to leave one behind? It's said that the graveyards are full of unlived dreams and aspirations and ambition. What is your aspiration as the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, a few days ago, I heard something really interesting. It was a comment, in part of a conversation with a taxi driver. And he said, where are you from? And I said, South Africa. And he said, there's so many animals there. So you have so many of the world's, you know, the big five. You have so many animals. You have sharks. You have dolphins. You have so much of Allah's creation there, Muslim driver. And he said, you have every opportunity to say Allahu Akbar. Meaning, looking at this creation, looking at this ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have every opportunity to say Allahu Akbar. And I thought to myself, that was something that I wanted to share with others, with friends and dear ones like yourselves. And so the question I'm asking today, both to myself and to you, is for us to reflect on this. You know, what is your Allahu Akbar moment today? What's the moment that makes you stop what you're doing and saying and say Allahu Akbar? You know, we say it 5 times a day in every salah when we raise our hands, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and that puts us in the state of the tahrim of the salah. We're in ihram of salah. But outside of the salah, where are you seeing, where are you witnessing, where are you alive to the sign of Allahu Akbar everywhere around you? And that's my question to you. It's a dhikr we read often, it's something we say in passing, but what does it mean to you? What do the words Allahu Akbar mean to you? And where and how do you see it come alive in your life? I'd love to know from you, inshallah. So you're listening to the program and you've just joined us. Ahlan wa sahlan, a very warm welcome. Welcome to the program and welcome to our series where we're focusing on all about living our legacy. Living a legacy each day, one day at a time. Now, on a weekly basis, I share with you more about reflections, and I'd like you to share the story with others. What's your Allahu Akbar moment? Where's the moment where from your heart you resonate and you affirm that Allah is the greatest? Now, on the program today, our theme continues as we focus on effective time management. Many of us still at the start of a new work or academic year, and we do face challenges on how to manage our time. So you can join us on Thursdays for that. But today it's all about knowledge. It's about learning. It's how do we, you know, embrace the gems of learning? What does it mean to be a knowledge seeker? And moving away from the glory and the glamour and the glitz, what does it truly mean to go out seeking knowledge? Now, before we get into today's segment, I'd like to share with you our inspirational update. And that's where I share with you topics or points that I've come across that have really moved me, made me think. And it's a piece that's been going around entitled, In the Year 2119. I've posted it up and you can find it on the Facebook page, The Art of Resonance. It goes as follows. In the year 2119, in just 100 years from now, every single reader or listener of this piece will be underground. Our bodies will have become part of the soil. During that time, our fate with respect to paradise or hell would have been made known to us. Meanwhile, above the soil, our houses that were left behind would have become homes for others. Our clothes would have become garments for others. Our cars will be driven by others. And as for us, we will be, for the most part, never thought about by anyone again. How often do you think about your great-grandmother? How often does your great-grandfather cross your mind? Dearest listeners of the Art of Renaissance and of Living the Legacy, our presence here on Earth today, that presence that we make so much noise about and shed so many tears for, was preceded by countless generations before us and shall be followed by countless generations after us, bi'idhnillah. Every generation that passes through this world barely finds the time to take a glance at dunya before needing to bid it farewell and handing over the baton, having not fulfilled even a fraction of one's ambitions. Our lives are, in reality, far shorter than we imagine. In 2019, every one of us will realize from within the grave just how worthless this world actually was and how trivial those dreams were that centered on them. In 2019, every one of us will be wishing that we had dedicated our lives to the greatest matters, the matters of Islam, and had devoted ourselves to collecting good deeds, particularly those that continue to benefit us after our death. In 2119, many of us reading or listening to this piece will be screaming out in vain, رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت. My Lord, return me, so that I may do good in that which I have left behind. The response to this request, however, shall be harsh. كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. No, it is only a word he is saying, and behind them is now a barrier until the day they are resurrected. In 2119, many of us will be biting our hands in regret, saying, يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي. I wish that I had prepared for my life. The angel of death will not wait until you and I become righteous. Let us become righteous, then wait for the angel of death. May Allah change lives through you. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. For many sisters who connected through this piece, they found it eye-opening. And I pray that inshallah it is one that resonates with each one of us, that we seek to make the changes we need to make before the time is too late. But together with that are some wise words, and on this note, after this, we'll conclude on the introductory segment of today's program. It's words that were expressed by Sheikh Ali Al-Tantawi, who said, hold on to your loved ones tight. Express your love for them. Forgive their mistakes. For you might leave, or they might leave with unsaid words and unexpressed feelings left in the heart. Be careful of sewing a wound without cleaning it first. Discuss, explain, confess, apologize, give in. Life is very short. It's not worth holding grudges, envying, cutting off ties over. Tomorrow will become a memory, for death does not come with a warning. Smile and forgive those who have wronged you. Subhanallah. When we listen to these words and we think, where do we need to make things right? Where do we need to make things better? How do we need to change things in our lives? And we need to reflect and ask ourselves, where do I need to make the changes? How do I need to be better at certain things in my life? And this is what's so important, that we need to take that effort, make that step to create those meaningful changes in our lives. And change only comes with effort. Change only comes with us making the effort and trying. It's not always easy to connect to others. It's not always easy to make right a wrong. But inshallah, with practice and with effort, we can make a difference. We can create changes. It is one step at a time. And that first step begins today and now. It's important that we look into our lives and we say, what are the changes I need to make? Who do I need to say sorry to? Who do I need to ask forgiveness from? And when we can start seeing life from that angle, and we can start realizing that it is important that we create changes. It's important we realize that life, we're not going to live forever, that we have, we can't say that we're going to seek forgiveness, we're going to make maaf in the next Ramadan. Ramadan is 4 months away, but really less than 4 months. How many of us are guaranteed that we're going to live to see that Ramadan? We're waiting for the next Jumu'ah to say Jumu'ah Mubarak and make me maaf. We're waiting for the next Umrah to say, I'm going for Umrah, so please make me maaf. Why do we have these timelines that are not even guaranteed? Why do we put these timelines that are not even guaranteed? What if we were just to live for now and here for this moment and say, I know where I need to make changes and I need to start today and now? That's the question we all should be asking ourselves. What's holding us back from saying sorry? Is it that we anticipate someone else to say sorry first? Are we waiting for that? Is that what our ego is convincing us to do? Wait till they say sorry. Why should you always be the first one to say sorry? Isn't this what our ego tells us? And we get caught up in that moment, right? We get caught up in that moment of, I need that person to say sorry because I'm always the one, who's saying sorry. So in this context, let us be very, very careful. Let's be very aware of how we regard time and the concept of time. Let's be very careful on whether we are making the most of every moment within our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability, the strength that we need to inshallah make a difference in our lives and in the lives of others. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Now, in our program today, we continue as we explore more about living the legacy through being a genuine knowledge seeker. What does it mean to be a knowledge seeker? What does it mean to seek a knowledge and in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. And that's exactly what we're discussing on today's program. If you've been back at your studies, whether it's your tertiary studies, school studies, whether it's just informal or self-study, I'd love to know what it is that you're doing to ensure that your studies is a means for you to draw closer to Allah. How do you take studies which are typically defined as secular studies or worldview studies, and how do you make sure that they bring you closer to Allah? What is it you do differently, or how do you change your ibadah schedule? I'd love to know. Drop us an email to hana@radioislamlive.com or send us an inbox message to the Facebook page, The Art of Resonance. So we're moving on with our topic for today, and it takes us back to where we left off in last week's program. We were discussing how to adorn ourselves as knowledge seekers. And this is the internal adornment. Now, last week, we spoke about how important it is to identify the ikhlas spoilers. What could potentially spoil our ikhlas? And how do we have to be careful and aware of this? Very, very important. There are certain factors that can spoil our ikhlas. And to recap what we discussed last week, we said when a person is seeking knowledge, genuinely seeking knowledge, but they have this tendency to love, being the known student or being the teacher's pet, or they want others, the teachers and other classmates, to magnify them or to look up to them, or they love to get praised or love to have titles. This can spoil our ikhlas, and we have to be very careful. We have to be careful because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at our hearts. Right? So someone might be acquiring knowledge for just a certificate or just an ijazah, and someone might be acquiring knowledge for being praised, which is worse, to seek it for praise. Ikhlas is to seek praise and good reputation from Allah alone, not from others, not even the malaika. We don't want anything from the slaves of Allah, right? We are poor. We can't see the full picture. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who rewards and he punishes, and everything is in his hands. He is the giver and he is the taker. Allah is the giver and he is the taker. So often we hear of students, bright students studying, a bright future ahead of them. And the will of Allah is that they undergo some type of illness or an accident or a trauma, and they're unable to memorize or retain. Allah is giver and Allah is taker. Now, part of the adornment of the one who seeks knowledge, how to beautify your seeking of knowledge, how to make your seeking of knowledge a true legacy that you live by. And subhanAllah, nowadays we hear so much about people in their 60s and 70s memorizing the Quran Kareem, going in, out and learning the Arabic language, going back to get their university degrees and diplomas. Alhamdulillah, there is no end to knowledge. There's always a chance to learn more, to learn something different. So we need to ask ourselves, what holds us back? What holds me back? What holds you back from seeking knowledge? There are so many different forms and mediums through which we can gain knowledge. What is holding us back? Now, another beautiful gem that we learn from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Tabi'een, the generation that followed the Sahaba, is to learn without arguing. This does not mean we cannot ask or we cannot question, but it is to learn without argumentation. Right? The way of the Sahaba and the way of the Tabi'een, may Allah be pleased with them all, was we listen, we believe, and we obey. Right? Sami'na wa amanna wa sadaqna wa atana. Sometimes we argue just to prove our point or for our ego. So make the knowledge easy on you. Don't make it difficult. If you don't understand, ask again. But remember, when we argue, is it just to prove our point or is it for our ego? This is very important to reflect on. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Tabi'een, this was not their way. This was not their way of argumentation. When we argue, it is with respect. It is with some form of knowledge. It is with adab and respect and accountability. We're going to go for our break shortly in just under 2 minutes. And when we return, we're going to talk more about adornments for knowledge seekers. What does it mean to adorn yourself as a knowledge seeker? I'm asking you, what are the gems and jewels you're adorning yourself with as you seek knowledge? So remember, we must have knowledge, we must have evidence. And yes, we can ask, but when we ask, to be asking in a correct way, with adab, with a pure intention in mind as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to respect knowledge and to respect the one who gives knowledge, and to realize that no human being is perfect. Right? So no human being living among us is perfect, and all perfection is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in order to truly benefit from knowledge, what's the key ingredient? You need to always fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we come back after the break, we're going to return and touch more on this topic of fearing Allah. And then we're going to look at the topic of fear of failure. These are two topics that we're going to look at when we come back after the break. But for now, we go for an ad break. Stay with us. A very warm welcome to the program. If you've just joined us, we're into the second half of this hour. Ahlan wa sahlan. On the program today, we've been talking about how to adorn ourselves as knowledge seekers with jewels and gems. And this includes being able to spot and identify what could potentially spoil our ikhlas, our sincerity. We also spoke about the importance of when we ask questions, when we question something, it should not just be for argumentation's sake, and to be very careful in how we question something, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of this. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Now, we said bit after the break, we were going to talk about this and touch upon it. And that is, for us to truly benefit from knowledge, we need to always fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as a student in school has a fear of failure, so that person may, in some personality types, be motivated to do good. They don't want to fail, so they're motivated to study and to complete their assignments. A seeker of knowledge. A mu'min or mu'mina who is seeking knowledge fears Allah. Whether knowledge is science, or whether it's fiqh, whether it's seerah, or whether it's world history. Someone who doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might still learn, yes, but there won't be the barakah in the knowledge. That person will not act upon it. That person will do contrary to the knowledge. That person will forget that knowledge and so lose that reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen. The one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will put barakah in that person's knowledge. Allah will increase that person in guidance and faith and taqwa. That person will act upon that knowledge without even realizing, subhanallah. May Allah make us all true seekers of knowledge. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. And so the question we want to ask ourselves and check in on is, am I making an intention before I set out to seek knowledge? What's my intention as I set out to seek knowledge? Why am I seeking knowledge? Now, when it comes to seeking knowledge, for some people, they find themselves stuck in a space. And this can be a limiting block where they actually need to overcome a fear, whether it's a fear of learning again, or whether it's a fear of getting more knowledge, whether it's a fear of how they will cope. But many people are filled with the sense of dread or fear when it comes to learning again. And this is not only for adults going back to learning, but it's also for young people returning to school or to campus. And that's what I wanted to touch on in today's program with you, my dear friends. And this is where we're going to be talking about overcoming our fear and how important it is for each of us and why it's more common than we realize. Now, all human beings experience fear on some level. The most successful, the most confident people experience fear. And I can tell from personal experience, it's alhamdulillah, it's 20 years of radio and public speaking. But I also feel, a bit of fear, a bit of nervousness every time I go in. And I think that's a good thing. It reminds us, hopefully inshallah, it humbles us. But it reminds us that nothing is capable, we are not capable of anything except by the will of Allah. All right? Now, when these fearful thoughts take over us, when they become larger than life, that's where we can be concerned. And some of the common fears most people experience are these three. Number one, the fear of failure. Number two, the fear of being rejected. And number three, the fear of not meeting our own expectations. So when we realize that we're being excessively fearful, how do we overcome them? So again, fear is natural. Most people experience fear to some degree or some level or the other. But when that fear becomes excessive, when it is debilitating, meaning when that fear holds us back from going forward, from working at our goals, from making a change or difference to our lives, that's when we ask the question, what do I now need to do to overcome that fear? So I want to share with you three powerful tools that can help you to deal with fear, whether it's fear about going back to school or work, whether it's fear about trying out a new health regime, or whether it's about fear of something at work or trying out a new business. Whatever is that fear, here's how we can try to work through it. It could be a fear of spiders or insects or anything of that sort. And there's no cut and paste generalized method. But there are some basic tools that could help, inshallah. And again, for each individual, it would differ, but it's worth listening out and seeing, do any of these resonate with you? Could they perhaps help you overcome some fear that you have in your life? So the first thing we want to have is perspective. Often, but not always, but often, the reason for fear is because our perspective of that particular situation is skewed. So our fears are sometimes based on wrong assumptions. When we correct these assumptions, we get a proper perspective on our situation. So what you could do is put your fearful thoughts in perspective by asking questions such as, what is the worst that can happen if my fear came true? Another question you could ask is, what is more likely to happen if that fear were to be actually realized? You could also ask, what is the best possible outcome for me if I acted in spite of my fear? So let's go through those questions to put things in perspective. What's the worst that can happen if my fear came true? You could ask, what is more likely to happen if that fear were to be actually realized? You could also ask, what is the best possible outcome for me if I acted in spite of that fear? What most of us come to realize after we answer these questions is that the worst possible outcome isn't so bad. Again, we don't want to generalize, but in a great number of circumstances, yes, it's something we can handle. And beyond the fear, the best possible outcome is out there waiting for us, and it could be rewarding. Now, the second thing you can do once you put things into perspective and go beyond the fear of what's waiting for you after the feeling of fear is to take the fear and replace it with something else. And that's a special ingredient called curiosity. Right? Now, research has shown that when you're fearful, when you're afraid, when you're operating from a space of fear, you actually create a barrier. A barrier of separateness between yourself and others. So you end up having thoughts like, what will they think of me? What if it doesn't work out? What if I fail? Notice how everything comes into one small bubble, the I bubble, me bubble. And so these thoughts then close us off from taking action. But when you're curious, it opens up a new world. It brings in enthusiasm. And so imagine if you were to replace your thoughts of fear with thoughts of curiosity, what it could do for you, for the quality of your life, for the outcome of your dreams and goals to further your knowledge. What if you could be more curious and replace negative thoughts of fear and something that holds you back, and instead think, so when you're thinking, I'm afraid they won't like my idea or they won't buy my product, replace it with, I'm curious to know what others think. Notice the difference. The first, I'm afraid they'll not like my product or my idea, is closed. It's close-ended. It's a dead end. That's it, black and white. But when you replace that fear-filled thought with a curiosity-filled thought, like, I'm curious to know what others think, it opens you up to new ideas. You're less harsh on yourself. You're more open to constructive criticism and your own growth. So the second point, try replacing fear with curiosity. And the third, and I've left this as the last, not because it's least important, but quite the opposite. It is the most important And it's the one step that we want to spend much more time on. Hence, I've left it as the last one for us to really focus on this. Because we could use all of these positive psychology tools to overcome fear. But if we have not trusted in Allah, if we have not turned to Him, if we have not sought His help and His guidance, if we have not anchored ourselves in the belief in Allah, in Tawheed, in our Sunnah, then how will we move forward? So when we come back after this last break, we're going to talk about the third step of what you could do to overcome fear. And that's fear about furthering your knowledge. But it could also be applicable to any other fear that you have in your life. You're listening to Living the Legacy, a program where we explore how you can live your legacy and leave it behind one day. I'd love to know your thoughts on the topic of how to overcome fear, especially linked to seeking knowledge. You can drop us an email to hana@radioislamlive.com, or you can send us an inbox to the Facebook page, The Art of Resonance. Coming up after our last ad break, we talk about why trust in Allah is the greatest step to overcoming your fears. Stay with us. A very warm welcome. We're into the last segment of the hour. And if you've missed our discussion prior to this, you will find the program up on podcast later on today. Two ways you can get it. One is from Radio Islam's website in their podcast section. Search my name and it will appear later on for you up there, or via Radio Islam's SoundCloud account, inshallah. You can catch this program as well as the previous episodes in the series, talking all about knowledge seeking. We began the series last week and it'll continue for this month of January, inshallah. Now, moving on, and we said that there are some very powerful tools on how we can overcome fear, whether it's a fear of knowledge, whether it's a fear of studying our deen, studying Islam, whether it's afraid of how will I learn, am I too old, or am I too distracted, will I remember, or whether it's fear for anything else in life. And we said the most important tool to overcome any fear is to be trusting in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in a very comforting ayah, probably one of my favorite ones, in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 277, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who believe and do deeds of righteousness and establish regular prayers and regular charity will have their reward with their Lord. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. So if you have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can overcome anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassures us in the next surah, surah number 3, verse 160, that if Allah helps you, none can overcome you. And if He forsakes you, who is there after that that can help you? In Allah, then, let believers put their trust. If you believe from the depths of your heart that the creator of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth, wishes the best for you, then no matter what happens, you won't be worried. And as long as you know you're taking the right action, then no matter what the outcome is, you will surrender to it with peace. There's nothing to be afraid of, because there is nothing better than being content with the knowledge that the creator of the universe is doing what is best for you. Once you've taken action in spite of the fear, take time out to praise Allah, to honor your faith. And so to be Muslim is to be fearless. So let's review and look back at what are three of the main tips and tools that you could take upon yourself to overcome a fear that you may have. A fear of failure when it comes to seeking knowledge, a fear of not meeting your own expectations or that of others. Three powerful tips. And we said, trust in Allah. We said, have a proper perspective. And the third is to replace your fear with curiosity. That makes a huge difference. Now, when it comes to seeking knowledge and what it means to seek knowledge, We know that there are so many benefits of it, but I just want to motivate us, to remind us again of why we should be seeking knowledge about Islam. So whether you're at university, you're going back, or in post-grad studies, or just starting off your tertiary education, or perhaps as we have many listeners in school level, mashallah, remember, make time to further and to deepen your Islamic knowledge, your knowledge about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your knowledge about our seerah and the rules of Islam. So no matter what you're studying, make time. And when we prioritize and when we do make time, even if it's a class once a week to further your Islamic knowledge, you notice the barakah in your life. You notice the difference in the quality of your life. You notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens doors for you and makes things easy for you, alhamdulillah. So the first thing that could motivate any of us to ensure that on a weekly basis we're doing some type of learning to expand our Islamic knowledge is to know your Creator. Who is Allah? Who is my Creator? Who nurtures me? Who sustains me? Who cares for me? Who watches over me? Who protects me? Who guides me? Who loves me? This means that we know Allah. Now, gaining knowledge about our deen means that we are able to understand a little bit about the greatness, about the attributes of Allah, as well as what pleases and displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that the Quran Kareem as the primary source of knowledge. And then we have the stories of the different prophets alayhimu salam, both in the Quran and through the seerah. They illustrate some of the greatness of Allah. Think of the parting of the seas in the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, all by Allah's grace. Something that was seemingly impossible, that was would not be short of nothing short of a miracle. But this is a small idea, a little idea of the greatness of Allah, of how He subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. And then there are the different stories of people during the lifetimes of the Prophets alayhimu salam, where the gravest of sins were committed by people and they were forgiven after repenting. That gives us an insight into the mercy of Allah. And then this knowledge, this little bit of knowledge about the mercy of Allah, then allows you and I to understand that we should never despair of the mercy of Allah. We should keep seeking it. No matter what we've done, no matter what we've said, we should never despair of Allah's mercy. So that's learning Quran, learning about the Islamic history, and thirdly, learning and knowing the attributes, the divine attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Asma'ul Husna. When we learn them, memorize them, understand more about them, they allow us to understand a bit about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happens then? The more we learn about our Creator, the more we learn to put our trust in Him, the more we learn to depend on Him, and the more we learn to love Him. So that when things are tough in life, we may worry as human beings tend to, but it will not be excessive. That we will be steadfast, that we will find coverage and shelter and refuge from the storms of life with Allah, so that we can remain calm and patient and grateful when we undergo our tests from Allah. Part of your learning about your deen this year, no matter how busy or how bored you may be in life, make time to learn about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when you learn about him, you will love him as he should be loved. It is narrated in a hadith that the Umar radiallahu anhu said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "You are more beloved to me than everything except my own self." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, by him in whose hand my soul is, you will not have complete faith till I am dearer to you than your own self." Then Umar radiallahu anhu said, "However, now by Allah." So he went back and he came back. "By Allah, you are dearer to me than my own self." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Now, O Umar, you are a believer." This is mentioned in Al-Bukhari. So it shows the importance of loving Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the extent to which we should love him. And this can be difficult to achieve if we're not listening to lectures about him, if we're not reciting durood or salawat, if we're not learning more about his biography. It will be difficult to achieve this love. But once we open our hearts to learning about his life, his sunnah, his seerah, his lifestyle, his struggles, his sacrifice, his love for us, the ummah, his concern for us. Once we can start learning about the constant trials and the challenges Rasulullah faced, the love that he had for the people, the way he behaved with his friends and his wives, his dealings in business, how he dealt with his neighbors, with a little bit of this understanding, surely we are going to have love and admiration and affection for the beloved of Allah, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we have that love and affection and admiration, then to follow him, to be like him, to live like him becomes easier. You see, the more we try to follow him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the closer we become to Allah, inshallah. And this is part of success in this dunya and the akhirah, dear friends. May your legacy that you live and leave behind be a bright one. Be full of the illumination of sincerity. Ameen. Until we meet again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central African time. Jazakumullah khairan for listening in and stay inspired. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.